I'm turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Well-known account of the wise men coming to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, my job's very easy tonight. There are 12 verses here that we read together. And in each verse is just one response to the incarnation. One response to God being made man and coming into this world. And we're asking ourselves as we go through these responses, is this our response to God intervening into human history and sending the Saviour that we might come and trust in him? Sending the Saviour that he might grow up living that perfect life that we could never live and dying on the cross, dying that death that we deserve. And so we look at these verses very simply and really quite briefly here this evening to see what our response is to God coming into the world. Emmanuel, God with us. Well, here, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. They were drawn. And this is the first response we think of concerning the incarnation. Thinking of the Son of God. Thinking of Jesus Christ. Are we drawn? Well, these were drawn. They were drawn, they were wise men. We believe that they had the Old Testament scriptures, these wise men from Persia or roundabouts. We believe that they had the prophecies amongst them. They would have had the books of the Old Testament. And they would have seen in them that there was a promised Messiah. They would have seen that there was one who was coming to be the Saviour of the world. And then the Lord gave them that sign, that star, as we shall see in a moment. They were drawn. They were drawn to these things. They couldn't leave it alone. They were those that were irresistibly drawn to this matter. They had to inquire into it. They couldn't leave it alone. And we ask ourselves just briefly here this evening, are we here just for sentimental reasons? We love to sing these things. Or are we really drawn to them? Do our hearts yearn to know what these things mean? Do our minds inquire into these things and make us think, this is the most important thing I could consider in life? These Christians, they seem to have been drawn to it, and it seems to have changed their lives, and it's everything to them. Are we drawn? Are we drawn as these wise men were? Is this first response that we read of in these few verses to the incarnation, God being made man and coming into the world? Are we drawn to these things, or we're not that bothered? We couldn't really care about them. Once Christmas is over, we'll go back to our old way of thinking. When these things are past, even when this meeting is over, that'll be enough. We won't be too troubled by these things. But are there those amongst us that aren't drawn to them? Asking questions, even if the questions are not out loud, the questions are in the mind and in the heart. How can these things be so? Is it true? Is this one truly the Son of God? Is there an eternal realm, heaven and hell? Is there a God that we have to face one day and give an account of what we have done in this life? Or is this response in your heart? Are you drawn to these things? Are you making inquiry? Are you here tonight because you really want to know the answers to life? Well, let's read on. Verse 2. They came to Jerusalem. Where is he, they say, that he's born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Well, not only were these drawn, but they make inquiries. You see, some people have a wistful thought about these things. They have a feeling that maybe they ought to inquire into it, but they never do. They never look at the scripture. They never come to the gospel service. They never read the Bible for themselves. They never read good Christian literature recommended to them by reliable friends. And friends, we need to inquire. We need to inquire into these things. These wise men, they were inquiring as to where the Lord Jesus was. But of course, there's much more to inquire into. We need to inquire into the state of our souls. We need to inquire as to what God feels towards us and his broken law. We need to inquire if there is a way of salvation. We need to inquire whether there truly is a place of eternal rest or eternal damnation. We need to inquire into these things, friends. And if we should go through this world without any real inquiry, what a waste. What a waste of life. What a waste of our souls. And we should find out to our eternal error that we didn't inquire into it. So are we drawn? Are we inquiring? Are we inquiring just now? What's that pastor going to say tonight concerning these things? Do we really want to know? Is it something that is very important to us? And look here in verse 3. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He'd heard that a king had been born, and he was troubled. Well, now, friends, they were troubled. Herod was troubled. You probably know why. Because he thought there might be some rival to his throne. This was the sort of thing that went on all the time in the Roman Empire of that day. But are we troubled concerning these things? Even the way I've opened up what I'm saying tonight. Does it trouble you? Do you think, well, I feel a bit uneasy about what this man is saying? Are we troubled when we hear about sin? Are we troubled when we hear of eternity to face? Are we troubled when we think that this Bible is the very word of God and that we ought to look into it seriously and see what it has to say to our situation, to our lives, to our spiritual condition or lack of it? Friends, are we troubled? There are many that are troubled. Well, thankfully, you're in this church tonight, so maybe you're not as troubled as some who would just slam the door on such a matter and they would turn away from it. No, friends, we needn't be troubled. God is kind. God is merciful. He will help us. He will grant us grace so that we might come and know his blessing. There have been so many in this world that have been troubled concerning the gospel, troubled concerning the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners like us, and they've turned their backs on it. And their lives have been misery, really. And then when they go to face God, they've got no defence, no defender in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing to say. Their mouth is stopped before the eternal God. Are you troubled, friends? Well, here is the solution in this gospel we have here amongst us. Well, verse 4. And when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And here the response to the Lord Jesus Christ being born to the incarnation is a sort of demanding. And people demand of us answers to the questions. Some of them we can't answer, but they demand. They say, well, if God is a God of love, why is there such misery in the world? And they demand an answer to these what they think are unanswerable questions. And they demand that if Christianity is true and if this is the Son of God come into the world, why is it that things are not really any better, that this world is in such a poor state, that there's wars going on, children being murdered? Why is it such a thing? And they demand, rather than inquiring, rather than gently saying, what's wrong with me, what's my condition before God, they demand that we should tell them why all these things are so. Oh, friends, I've met many people in my lifetime that have made all sorts of demands on Christianity, but they've had no personal interest in looking into these things themselves and seeking it out for themselves and knowing God's richest blessing in their lives. Oh, friends, don't be demanding. Come believing, trusting in the Saviour. And here in verse 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Well, these scribes and Pharisees knew the prophecy Micah that tells very plainly that it was going to be in Bethlehem where the Messiah was to come, where the Saviour was to come. And what we would say here in response to the incarnation is they knew something. They knew something. And of course, we know something. The trouble is, it can make us proud. Oh, well, I know about Christianity. I know about the Christmas story. I know about these chapters that have been read tonight. I know these things, and I know that Christianity expects that people come and confess their sin, and I know that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and that was in the place of sinners, and I know that there are good and bad churches, and I know that the scriptures are true, and I know that, well, I even believe that God made this world in which we live. Yes, our response to the incarnation may be that, yes, we know something. We believe it is true. We kind of believe that, yeah, this must happen. If God should show himself to us, if he should reveal himself to us, well, we can't see the eternal spirit. We must have some manifestation of God that we can see and understand. And I can see that this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming into the world. And I know that, I know that. But friends, there must be more than that even. We can't just acknowledge these truths. We can't just say, I believe this, I believe that. Remember that terrible verse in the letter to James? Do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. Well, the devil believe in God. And they tremble. Friends, there must be something more. It's not a question of knowing certain things, knowing certain truths, knowing these things. It's coming and believing in them and trusting in them with all your heart. Trusting in this Saviour. Not trusting just in the facts of the crucifixion, but trusting in the one that was crucified. Trusting in the one that came to save us from our sins and bring us to glory. Well, let's move on. Verse 6. And thou, Bethlehem, is what these scribes and Pharisees say, reading from the prophet Micah. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And here we would say that the response is that some are expecting. Some are expecting. These Jews in Jerusalem at that time, they were expecting the Messiah. They were expecting him to come. They were expecting him to be born in Bethlehem. They were expecting him, falsely, to overthrow the Romans and to free them in their own land. They were expecting all sorts of things from their deliverer. And some are expecting things from this Christ child, from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I wonder what you're expecting. Are you expecting that he shall make life better for you? Are you expecting that he should somehow pull a switch and then all of a sudden you become holy and a good person and wonderful and overcome all your temptations and sin? Are you expecting that maybe you might be more prosperous and get things right in life? Perhaps you're expecting that believing these things will change your life so that you can pass examinations and have answers to prayer for all sorts of things. Oh, friends, that's not the sort of expectation that we ought to have. We ought to have an expectation of God being merciful to us. We should have an expectation of God in his mercy and wonderful grace saying, I forgive you your sins. You're now a child of God. You're mine. Walk with me and know my blessing here and in eternity. That's the sort of expectation that we should have. These people, they were expecting that Christ was to be born in Bethlehem, but it was such a tiny thing really. Oh friends, oh that we might expect God to come and change our lives, convert our souls, make us truly his children of the living God, that we might know what it is to walk with God in this life and live with him in eternity. And then verse 7, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And we know what this is all about. This is insincerity. And of course, when it comes to our response to the incarnation, it might be insincere. We might appear to those around us to be interested, to be glad to come tonight. And yet, inside, well, what do we care about these things? Inside, well, in a few days it'll all be over, all the fuss and nonsense, and we can get back to the life that we want to live. And so we're insincere. Oh friends, that's a dangerous position to be in. We know what happened to Herod. In the end he was eaten of worms and died a miserable death. He was wiped off the face of this world and went straight to hell. He was a wretched and awful man. But friends, the Lord can see our hearts. He doesn't just see our outward appearance. He sees what we're like inside, and he looks for sincerity. He looks for sincerity as we come to him asking his forgiveness. He looks for sincerity when he looks at us and he sees in our hearts that we are humbled and we are those that are so feel ourselves so far from the Lord and want to come close and know his blessing and his very great help. Oh friends, I hope we're not insincere. And then verse 8. And he sent them, Herod sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." Well, this is just downright false worship, isn't it? False worshippers. There are many false worshippers. The world abounds with churches that are full of false worshippers. Those that pretend they are worshippers of God, worshippers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's no real love in their heart. There's no real love for his commandments and his word. No real love for his people. No real love for God himself, the glorious God that made us and placed us in this world. So many false worshippers. Oh, I hope we're not tonight. I hope we've come sincere and that we're not false. And even would be glad if the name of Christ and Christianity had some damage, even as Herod did in his day. Or perish the thought that we are false worshippers. Well, verse 9. And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Well, some are rewarded. These people were rewarded. Of course, they were going to give gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were rewarded after their search, after the many miles, after their searching of the scriptures, after their inquiry there in Jerusalem. Now they're rewarded. They found the Saviour. They found God made man. They found the one that was going to change the world. They found the one that could be their personal Saviour. They were rewarded. They knew salvation, I'm sure of it. They knew what it was to trust in this one. They bowed down and worshipped him and opened their gifts and presented to him gold and frankincense and myrrh, all gifts that make it us see that they understood who this was. They understood that he was a king. They offered him gold. They understood that he was to be killed and crucified. Yes, and so they offer him that myrrh. And oh, they understood that he was the priest that would bring us back to God. And so they offer that frankincense, that picture of prayer being answered and the priest bringing them to God. Oh, they understood these things, friends. They were rewarded. Rewarded in their hearts. Rewarded in their lives. Rewarded in eternity to walk with God and to know his blessing and his help. Oh, these wise men who no doubt were rich. We can tell that from the gifts. But they humbled themselves before this poor child, seemingly, to them. And they knew what it was to be fully rewarded with wonderful salvation. Have we found that reward? Have we owned it? Have we found it as we've searched diligently for salvation in the scriptures? May it be so. Well, verse 10. And they were come, when they were coming to the house, and when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, forgive me. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Well, that's straightforward, isn't it? Some response to the incarnation is very great joy. Of course. Of course. If Christmas get boring year by year, same old thing, same old arguments, same old problems, same old money troubles, same old wretched world in which we live. Friends, let's put aside that for a moment and think of spiritual things. These men, when they found the Lord Jesus Christ, they rejoiced with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Their response to the incarnation was joyful. And this is the response of every true believer, those that know the Lord. Oh, how wonderful that he should come into this world for me, that he should love me and give himself for me. Wonderful that he should come and humble himself and condescend to be a child, a poor child in this world, that I might be rich. Wonderful, marvellous. I worship him, of course. And that's the next response. Verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They became real worshippers. Not church attenders. Not those that sing hymns lustily. Not those that are instrumentalists in some churches and that's all it is. Friends, they became real worshippers. They worshipped God from their hearts. And it wasn't just on a Sunday, it was every day. They get their Bibles out and it's on their laps and they read it through and they ask the Lord to help them with it, and then they pray and they worship God and they say, thank you Lord for saving my soul, thank you Lord for making me whole. Oh, they become worshippers in their heart. Are you a worshipper, friend? Are you an outward worshipper? It's not the same. Are you a worshipper in your heart? Is it real? Do you love the Lord? Do you love his word? Do you love our God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And then lastly, very simply, verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Well, of course, they became obedient. Their response to the incarnation, as they came to know him as the Saviour and the King and the Lord of all creation, they became obedient. Now, friends, this is what we ought to do at this season of the year. We ought to become obedient to God's word, obedient to that command that we come and repent of our sin and trust in the Saviour and yield up our lives completely to him. This is what he asks of us, and this is what we should be obedient in. Oh, friends, what's your response tonight to the incarnation? What's your response to the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners? We've looked at these responses here this evening. You alone know your own heart, but God knows your heart as well. And we pray that the Lord will bless us in these matters. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that thou help us in our responses, that we might respond even to this one who has come, and that we might trust in him, that we might believe in him, and that we might yield up our lives completely to him this Christmas time to be his now and forever. We ask it for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Well, let's sing in closing number 4.